We're here. Welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And in today's podcast, we're doing OK Computer by Radiohead. Right, and it's by Radiohead and Nigel Godrich. They produced it. And it was recorded in Didcot, England, in Bath, England. And it was released May 21st, 1997.
Today we are doing the last three songs on the album, No Surprises, Lucky, and The Tourist.
Yeah, and this is the rest of the album.
Yeah, so let's start with No Surprises. Give me your one-line overview.
This is the fourth and last single from OK Computer, and it has a glockenspiel, such a Monday song. Anyway, it's 4 minutes and 12... 4 minutes and 12 seconds.
Okay. So, to me, it sounds like this kind of lullaby song for people that are just existentially exhausted, you know? How would you describe existentialism?
I'd say it's a philosophical movement that suggests that existence, life, the universe, and everything has no meaning except for the morning, except for the meaning that individuals create for themselves.
Do you agree with that? Do you think that the only meaning that exists in the universe is the meaning that exists within you? Like, there's no big picture meaning to life. It's just what you...
Oh, wow. Never thought about that.
All right. That's crazy. What's your first impression?
My first impression is it's like a song that I can be happy and sad to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What other songs can you be sappy, happy and sad to? Do you think sad and happy, that sappy comes from sad and happy combining?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
I think it feels like... Oh, God. Like that sigh when you've given up, you know, where it's like, fuck it. Like, this song is the embodiment of that feeling.
For sure. Can I give you some background?
Yes, please.
Well,
you're like a third grader in church. What are you doing over there?
So, don't worry about it.
Okay.
No Surprises was written while the band was on tour with REM in 1985. And he played it for everyone in the dressing room in Oslo.
Including REM?
Yeah.
So they were in there too? They heard it before anyone else and they were able to give input on it?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. I would have put those two bands together, you know? What's going on? Is your underwear too tight?
All right. Maybe this wasn't a good idea.
Tell us some more about the background. Calm down.
Okay. It was the first song that was recorded for the album, and they ended up using the first take since the ones after didn't measure up, you know.
Producer Nigel Godrich decided to record the band playing the song fast, and then he slowed it down for Tom to sing over. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh. And apparently the lyrics were dramatically different in the original version, and at what point they even made a reference to menstruation.
That's sick.
Yeah. Did you know that there's over 5,000 slang terms for menstruation?
No, I didn't know that.
Can you tell us a few of them?
Well, some that I like include the monthly oil change in Hungarian, and then defrosting the steak in Spanish.
And then there's Shark Week in English.
Yeah.
And Strawberry Week in German and Ketchup Week in France. In Finnish, they call it Mad Cow Disease. And in Danish, Communists in the Gazebo.
And what do we call it? Like the ant flow?
Sure.
This is so offensive.
It's not. I'm just, this is what slang is. And then what about Japanese? What are the two Japanese ones?
Arrival, the Matthew Perry? Are you kidding me?
No.
All right. Well,
is that a friend scene where there's like he gets there? And
apparently, the goal was to create a song that sounded like Marvin Gaye or Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
I can see that.
I see trees of green, red roses too.
Speaking of getting out of holes, what's your favorite line?
What? Anyway, my favorite line is such a pretty house and such a pretty garden.
What does it feel like to you?
It feels like if someone has a picture-perfect life and they can still feel happy and sad. And so it's like living up to superficial standards doesn't always bring contentment and happiness. You may look like you're thriving in abundance, but... How pretty is the garden with you? Within you.
That was like some weird slam poetry.
Thank you.
I liked A Handshake of Carbon Monoxide. Because I feel like it's like the toxic, like suffocating relationship that you have with modern life. You know, it's like if you're going to live in the modern world, you got to deal with carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you might as well embrace it. Well, that's not true. That's a horrible message. Because you want
to
change.
Maybe someday humans will evolve to just, like, smoke carbon monoxide and just be chill.
You heard it here first. Tell us about the message of this song.
Tom York said the song was written on a shitty 2-hour bus journey with a bunch of old age pensioners in Britain, and I don't know why my car wasn't working. It actually wasn't a political thing at all. It was like, why have people like this been dropped? Why are we just left to rot? This is a democracy, then they should be helping us. Sorry. I can't see my computer.
Wait.
Do you know?
Oh, it's all tangled up.
This is a way of saying I'm just gonna do this show alone. Why have people like this been dropped? Why are we just left to rot? Is this a democracy? Then they should be. If this is a democracy, then they should be helping us. Why aren't they helping us?
Do you know?
You know? They would say they're for the people, but when does anyone who says they're for the people is truly for the people? You know what I mean?
I think we can end the podcast. Okay, Tom also said that it's about someone who is trying hard to keep it together but can't. You know, we've all been there.
Yeah. Hey. And it either feels like someone is tired of living a cyclical, humdrum life, or they have succumbed to the fact that their life is at a dead end, void of any excitement or stimulation. Or it could just be about giving up on life altogether. All the ups and downs. Someone's over it.
From a production perspective, there's kind of the usual rock instruments, drums, bass, electric guitars, acoustic guitars. But for me, the Glockenspiel really sparkles.
That's nice. Well, the decision to use a Glockenspiel was influenced by the Beach Boys' Pet Shop Sounds album, specifically the opening track, Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older?
There's also some nice synth strings in the background.
There are.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good way to describe this.
Let's talk more about the Glockenspiel.
All right. Oh, yeah. I feel like it makes it sound kind of lullaby-y.
Yeah. The music video. So the video is directed by Grant G and seems loosely inspired by Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey. And the video is basically a single shot of Tom's face in a glass bubble helmet slowly filling up with water while the lyrics and the lights reflect off the helmet.
Yeah, it's like a street or like overhead lights or something, you know, like...
Yeah.
And then they're turning on kind of in
order. Oh.
I think so.
That sounds cool.
Director Grant G was making a documentary called Meeting People is Easy about the band promoting OK Computer. And yeah, they decided to have him also make the music video for No Surprises.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The video was made by speeding up the track while the helmet was filled with water so Tom could hold his breath and not drown. Then the track was slowed back down after the water went back down so he could catch up and lip sync for his life.
I feel like the director's intention of watching Tom like struggle to breathe was like purposely trying to give people that sense of anxiety while they listen to the song.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. What about the documentary?
In the documentary, Meeting People's Easy, there's a behind-the-scenes look at the video where Tom freaks out in numerous takes because he's unable to hold his breath.
Yeah, so they had him in this sealed, like, glass bubble head thing.
Yeah.
And then they had to, like, screw it open to get him out.
I tell you. It's sad.
Kids today.
Well, what about live performances?
Well, it was first performed in December of 1995 in Amsterdam. And Radiohead has performed this three times at Glastonbury in 97, 2003, and in 2017.
And I got to see them perform this at the Madison Square Gardens in 2018. I don't remember it.
Because you really went there.
I did. I really went there.
All right. What about mashups?
Well, there's a lot of mashups of this song. There's one with Olivia Rodrigo's Deja Vu and Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful Life. A world. What a wonderful world.
You caught yourself.
I did.
Good for you.
Get banned.
As far as remixes, tell us about one.
There's a remix on YouTube called Theresa May Resigns as Prime Minister. In Radiohead by Brexit.
So obviously critique of Brexit. Shake with Jeremy Corbyn. I'm not so
strong, but not so stable. Yeah.
this is going to be a hell of an editing job. Let's talk about covers of this song.
This song has been covered by Marissa Nadler, featuring Black Hole Infinity, James Blake. E.T. Star All Stars.
They do a lot of home Radiohead stuff.
Yeah.
And the Vitamin String Quartet, which also does a lot of covers of them. Christopher O'Reilly, and your favorite, Iron and Wine.
Yeah, and your favorite, Regina Spektor, The Candlelight Tribute, and Roman Jonas there with your favorite artist, Janelle Monáe. You love her. You talk about her all the time.
I don't dislike her as much as I used to. I'll just put it there.
The heart does forgive.
Wait, is Regina Spektor like Ronnie Spector's? Was she like a Phil Spector?
I don't know.
Who is she?
It's possible. Regina Spektor?
Yeah. Who you got?
What are the critic reactions of No Surprises?
You tell me. What did Rolling Stone say?
They said it's a haunting lullaby that beautifully encapsulates modern life's quiet desperation.
Hmm. Poetic.
Cheery.
And NME New Music Express said, an anthem for the weary, capturing the melancholy of the mundane with exquisite precision.
Okay, well, what do the fans have to say?
I know, who cares about those weird reviews? So one fan said, makes me want to write my resignation letter on a cake and eat it.
I would like to do that.
I know. I can totally see it.
That's nice. But it's sad, because maybe this person didn't even, quit like their cake. Job.
Oh. Wait, so they're just doing it to, get that high?
Yeah, get that fantasy. And then
on Monday, they go back to the office.
That's so weird. Well, it makes me feel like I'm in a sad Pixar movie about office workers.
You? Oh, a fan said that.
Why would it be a sad Pixar movie?
This person said it, I don't know. You can go to YouTube and comment their comment.
Well, I bet you wish you knew some trivia about this song.
Wait, do you have any experiences with this song?
No.
Okay. It has no meaning to you at all?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
You tell me, what about the documentary?
In the Mating People is Easy documentary, a morning show plays the music video and says, it's a great tune to cut your wrist to. I ain't.
In December of 1997, a different version of the single called No Surprises, Running From Demons was released in Japan to promote the band's 1998 upcoming tour there.
That's cool. And No Surprises was used in the opening episode of the 6th season of House. That's all you need to know. And then the single artwork was done by Stanley Donwood, and it's a picture of a car and a house. Stanley Donwood said, it's sad. It's sad because it's... Hold on, wait a minute. It's sad because no one's inside the house. And the car, so it's like you have nice things, but it's empty things. Nice things, empty things.
Beautiful gowns.
You know, that should be the name of a store.
It should.
Nice things, empty things. So think twice before you buy it while you're really buying it.
What if you want to go there because you're buying it because you feel empty inside and you hope it's going to fill some hole in you?
Hey. At the end of the day, it's going to get empty. Always remember that.
That's very existential.
Thank you.
I like this cover. That's all I'll say.
It's cool. It's a guitar.
Because it has a car and a house.
It's like a sniper.
And a sniper thing.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Well, I like it.
Yeah, it's cool.
In the 2002.
Oh, do you know what kind of car that is?
It looks like a Datsun. I'm going to say.
Sounds good.
But since these are British, it could be an MG. Like, maybe an MG midget. I don't
know. You're not supposed to say that.
All right. It was used in the 2002 film The Spanish Apartment.
And have you seen that?
No, have you?
Yeah. And then there's a piano version by Ramin Djawadi in the show Westworld.
We should have played that before we started this. That scene.
Oh, I forgot.
I know.
Oh.
And
it's gonna keep me up all night. Well, and it was originally written to be more upbeat.
Have they talked about that?
Yeah. But it's fine.
Yeah. Speaking of fine, tell us about the cocktail for this.
There's the carbon monoxide martini. It's a dry martini with liquid smoke, a dark smoky drink that's perfect for contemplating life's discontents.
I would try that. You probably wouldn't like it. Do you like liquid smoke?
I love it.
Have you ever tasted it?
Wait, liquid smoke?
It's this liquid you buy that you can, like, put on things like, you know, chicken and whatever so that they taste smoky.
Weird.
But sometimes it's used in cocktails, so the cocktails taste smoky.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would like that, because you...
As long as it's not spicy.
All right, let's talk about Lucky.
Yeah, this is a story about a girl named Lucky.
Yeah, so Britney Spears' Lucky was actually produced by Max Martin, who went on to produce songs by Coldplay and Maneskin.
Yeah. Do you want to know my first impressions,
though? Did you ever notice that Bjork has an album cover that looks like Britney Spears' album cover?
I feel like we talked about that.
Well, it's relevant all over again.
Okay.
What's your first impression of this song?
Who is Sarah? Why does he want her to kill him? So many questions.
Yeah. It's just very, it's like hopeful and desperate. You know that combination?
Yeah. We've all been there.
What's a time when you've been hopeful but also desperate?
Wow. Asking the hard-hitting questions.
Okay, you can think about it and we'll talk about it
next week.
As far as some background, the band first played Lucky for a radio station in Atlanta in July of 1995.
Yeah, and a couple months later, Brian Eno asked Radiohead to record a song for the compilation called The Help Album, which was made to benefit the War Child Charity and benefit children in Bosnia. What?
Oh.
It's true.
No, it sounded... I thought you said there was an organization called Benefit Children. All the artists involved would record their own songs in one day, and then Radiohead... for their part, recorded Lucky in just 5 hours.
That's cool.
And it was also one of the first songs that was recorded for OK Computer.
I feel that. And then Tom said the band left the session feeling euphoric and said it shaped the overall sound of the album.
Would you say this is a euphoric album? You were just describing it as dark earlier.
It can be. It depends on where you are in your life.
So it can be dark and euphoric.
Yeah, like I said, No Surprises is a song you can be happy and sad to.
So dark and euphoric sounds just like what you would, how you would describe goth.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're dark, but then they, you know, go to dance clubs and are very,
there's
like,
passion.
Yeah. All right, what's your favorite line?
It's going to be a glorious day. I just like the way he sings it and the way the optimistic line contrasts with the sad, serious tone of the song.
I get that.
Yeah.
I like Pull Me Out of the Air Crash. I like the way he sings it and the way that the optimistic line contrasts with the sad, serious tone of the song.
That's for real, though. Because the story is where you think it's about some superhero figure that needs to be saved by a love interest. But I interpret it to be about someone who feels destructive. Exactly. And in a rut, and that the relationship is bound to crash.
We've all been there.
This tea, honey. Yeah, sometimes they feel like it may pick up and be like good by luck in the end. In the end, they rely on their partner to help save it.
Can you say that again, but with a cadence that puts those words in more of a context?
I was just saying, like, the whole thing. Like, yeah, someone feels like they're in a rut. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just picture a really, like, volatile person who feels so much and destructive, and then they're in a relationship and they're like realizing that their behavior and their actions caused the relationship to like be destined to fail. So he's just like, I need my partner, the stable person, to just help get us through this.
That was good. That was very cogent and insightful.
Are you making fun of me?
No. I would never make fun of you. And I wasn't. It seems like it would be about Tom's fear of flying and anxiety and technology, right?
Yeah.
Curmudgeon. But I think it's a song about, like, you know, hope and survival against all odds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope and Survival Against All Odds, which, by the way, is one of my favorite movies.
After Legally Blonde.
I know. Legally Blonde would be like maybe top 20, but Against All Odds is top 5.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to give you some production highlights now. So the song begins with a high-pitched sound, which is the sound of Ed O'Brien strumming the nut of his guitar. Yeah, it was an electric guitar.
Why didn't I find a meme for that?
And strum that nut. Anyway, Ed made this sound when the band was sound checking in Japan and he was messing with the guitar. It's like that weird high-pitched staticky sound.
Yeah. Have you ever used that in any of your
music?
Sounds
like crickets being choked. No, I didn't strum the nut of my guitar.
Okay. But that sound in general, like that, that kind of...
I don't know how to achieve it.
Okay. So like an orgasm.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh my god, what the hell is your problem?
Because when I think of like people can't achieve, women can't achieve an orgasm. Like, that's the same.
I can achieve my orgasms, thank you very much. Come on, do you have anything else about production?
Well, that sound was the starting point of the song.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And then there's kind of all the usual like rock instruments, including a mellotron choir. And you love a good mellotron, don't you?
I do.
I know.
I really do.
You do.
I like how the guitar builds into a big fat party. All right. Do you know anything about the music video? What can you tell me? Is there a video for this song?
There is a video, which includes footage and images of Bosnia and the band recording the song in the studio.
Yeah, it's nothing to write home about. What do you think?
You just played it a little bit ago tonight, right?
Did I? No, I don't think I did. But you get the point.
I get the point. As far as live performances, they performed Lucky at the Tibetan Freedom Concert in June of 1998 with Michael Stipe.
Yeah.
So not with R.E.M.?
No, just Michael Stipe. He was lending some of his vocals. And it's not bad.
Yeah. Speaking of lending vocals, what about covers?
This song has been covered by My Brightest Diamond, Easy Star All Stars Again, and the Vitamin String Quartet
Again.
Again. Do you know of any remixes of Lucky?
Do you know of any remixes of Lucky? It just sounds like it could be a show tune. Yeah, there's the Ranger David remix, which is really good. And then there's also the LVO MV unofficial remix, which I think you'd like.
Yeah. So, what do fans have to say about the song?
One fan said, this should be the official theme song for winning the lottery and then immediately losing the ticket.
Oh no, you like win the lottery and then they like set it on fire right in front of you. They're like, get out. You have nothing.
No, that wouldn't be as bad because at least somebody stole it from you. But imagine winning the lottery and then like you lose it. You know, you like put it in your back pocket and it falls out. That'd be worse because it'd be all on you. You can blame it on someone else.
Oh, yeah.
All right, what do critics have to say?
It's a transcendent rock. It's a transcendent track that blends hope and despair in a breathtaking sonic landscape.
Who said that?
That Pitchfork said that.
And Spin Magazine said, Lucky soars with emotional depth, embodying the anxious yet hopeful spirit of OK Computer.
Awesome. What's your personal rating?
Ooh. I don't know, like 5?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around there, 5, 6.
Wow, that for your Radiohead song, that's pretty low for you. I didn't think any single Radiohead song was below a 7 for you.
I mean, you know, if I no, no.
Okay. Some trivia about the song. It was an episode of 6 Feet Under, which is a good show. We just watched that scene.
Yeah.
There's some shade that's thrown in that show. Sure. Just saying.
Sure is.
Okay.
The song's recording was completed in just 5 hours.
Oh yeah, we talked about that.
Oh yeah, we did.
What about a cocktail for the song?
Well, there's the Buzzball Tequila Rita, sweet and sour like the song, and they serve it on planes.
Have you ever had one of those on a plane?
There's gotta be a drink called Lucky.
No, but I thought this was a perfect... It's like those green orbs that look like kind of like a green apple.
I didn't have those on planes. I bought those on my own. I went to the drugstore.
You really bought a Buzzball?
No. Yeah.
The packaging's nice.
No, it's usually when I'm hanging out with other people. I don't get those by myself. I have more self-respect.
Wait, so you respect yourself less when you're around people?
You gotta accommodate everyone.
Alright, let's talk about the tourist. Give me your one line overview.
This is the last song, and it's about adjusting to life after being on the road and ties into the album's themes of travel and transport, backed by somber music.
Get that. Yeah, slow and steady wins the race. Even though I don't agree with that.
I know. Memories. Anyway.
What's your first impression?
It really does feel like coming home after a long day. And I like the abrupt chime at the end.
Can you replicate that chime?
If you give me a fork and a knife right now.
Okay. Hold on, let me put these headphones on. Oh, wait.
So weird. You ready?
Tell us what you're doing.
No? Yeah? I don't know. Anyway.
Do it one more time.
No, that's terrible. It needs to be gentle. I can't get it right.
Wake up. Okay, no, that's enough. Okay, what's next?
Well, what is your first impressions?
Mine is that it's kind of like when you're watching the clouds and you just take like a deep breath and you reflect. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're just looking up and the clouds are going by and you're just, like, being one with everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
What about background? Can you give me
Wait, what's your first impression?
I told you already. Like, it's like coming home after a long day and I like the abrupt chime.
And then they'll play the chime. Now it all makes sense.
Thank you, Mama.
All right, what's some background on this song? Who wrote the music?
Johnny Greenwood wrote the music.
Right.
And it had the working titles Involuntary Speed and Slow Down.
Do you have working titles for your songs?
I do.
And has there ever been a song where the working title just stuck? You're just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be.
Okay. Well, that's how it is all the time.
Okay.
You know? Like, it's like 50-50.
Okay. That helps. Thank you for the context. And Tom's lyrics were inspired by watching frantic American tourists in France.
I feel attacked.
Come on, we did not look like tourists when we were there.
No, we weren't that bad.
And Tom also said he wrote the lyrics in Prague as a reminder to himself to slow down.
We all need that reminder every now and then. Kim Kardashian.
Tell us some more.
It closes the album, bringing a reflective end to the intense journey.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
How does this rate as far as like an album closer? Because, you know, every time I listen to music now, I think of you, like, especially like an album in order. It's like, how does the first intro song versus the last song, like, what story does that tell?
I just know that I think this might be the slowest song in the album. And so I feel like it's appropriate to end that's how the formula goes. You have to end your albums with the slowest saddest or happiest song.
See, I thought the Synth album
everything has to be the most. You're just wrapping up the album with the most. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, but I thought of it as, because it's an album about technology, you know, and like the, you know how technology just constantly speeds up and speeds up and speeds up, that yeah. It would have ended up with like a song that sort of was like projecting just things speeding into the future.
Right.
By its pace.
Yeah.
All right. And it was a last minute choice to include on the album.
Yeah, it was.
I wonder what else they... I wonder what could have been. I wonder what the sliding door...
Maybe exit music.
Okay. You've already thought about this before.
Yes.
What is your favorite line from The Tourist?
I like it barks at no one else but me. Like it's seen a ghost. But I can relate to getting barked at a lot because... whenever I'm a tourist.
You get barked at?
By people? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember in Milan? Everyone was yelling at me. I felt attacked.
You just showed up to a restaurant and you were like, serve me some sangria. Yeah. They're like, we just sell dog food. This is a laundromat. You think just because you're in Milan, everywhere that you walk into sells ingredients?
Yes, don't they know who I am?
All right. What's your favorite line?
My favorite line. I just told you. To your favorite line.
Hey man, slow down. That's my favorite line.
Okay, excuse you. What do you like about it?
Because I'm always telling people to do that. You know, like, I don't like chaos and hectic people around me. Why do you think we're together?
Yeah.
No, why do you think we are? Because you're not.
What?
Anyway, you know, like when we're watching TV and I'm like, why is everyone yelling?
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I'm always telling other people, but then I should slow down too.
Yeah.
I can't be like, you're all running around causing chaos for me and then me running around causing chaos.
You mean like around the apartment?
Around anything. Oh. But yeah.
Yeah, you need to slow down sometimes.
I told you.
You bump into me a lot. Anyway.
How in 2,000 square feet can we bump into each other so much?
It's like two little rats in a hamster cage or something.
All right, what's the story and message of this song?
The original lyrics include expat glitterati and snazzy Tex-Mex bars drinking the fallen years in ex-communist Bohemia.
That sounds fun. Why didn't they keep that?
This is a lot. That's a mouthful. I don't know.
All right. I think the song's about moving through life without slowing down, which is similar to like a tourist visiting a country and trying to take it all in a short amount of time. So they're just like,
yeah,
you know, we've been there. We've all been there.
Yeah.
We're like, I want to see the whole city, but I also, so in order to do that, you just are really frantic.
Yeah. It's like, cause you don't, yeah. Because
I'd rather be in like one neighborhood in Paris for a weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just if you're only there for a few days, just get to know one, like the Latin Quarter or the Second or the 11th.
Do something. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want me to recap?
No. I just want to move on.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some production highlights.
I would love to hear them.
This song features unconventional time signatures.
What does that mean?
Well, usually conventional time signature is 4-4, and that's like... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you got a waltz that's like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
And then you got...
Okay, so what's an unconventional one?
You know, like... anything like 5, 8, 5, 7, I forget. But there's like, you know...
What does that sound like?
See, it's hard because you know people like...
Because it's unconventional.
Yeah, it's... I'm not good
with... Don't pin me down.
...with rhythm, but I don't know.
That?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I don't know.
No, that's... that's perfect.
I think I just made a bunch of shit up.
Anyway, the use of like space, you know, like those silent moments that it just breathes, kind of makes the rest of the notes feel really deep.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like when there's...
Yeah, you have to give it things space.
Yeah. It's like when you give it the space and the quiet.
If you're just rolling along, you know, it's all when it's slowed down. I think my brain just exploded.
No, just think about it. If you always heard like a noise at the same level that was always on.
Yeah.
You have no context, but if you have quiet and then that noise comes on, it feels like, you know.
It's deep.
Okay. Tell us about the rock instrumentation.
Yeah. There's the usual rock instruments. There's the mellotron choir, and
that's a usual rock instrument.
No,
like does Carlos Santana have a mellotron choir?
You can't even say it. Anyway, choir. There's a chime of a triangle played by the drummer Phil Selway, and at the end, like it's like your time is up. You know, our session is over.
Dinner's ready.
And your dinner's ready. Okay. So, yeah, it also sounds a bit cigarose, roasty, you know? Was there any live performances of the song?
It was first performed in Spain when Radiohead started their tour for OK Computer.
Good for them.
Do you know what city that was?
I'm going to say Barcelona.
Okay.
I don't know. Razzmatazz. You ever hear of that?
What?
Never mind.
I don't think that's a city in Spain.
It's a club. It's the name of the venue they played at. In Spain.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then there's the tourist. They performed this at Madison Square Garden in New York City, and I was there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that, would you consider that one of the, like, foundational moments of your life?
No, but what I will say is that when I saw Radiohead in Outside Lands in 2016, that was whatever you said.
Transcendent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they went on After Air.
Oh.
Yeah, think about that.
Can you imagine if Bjork would have gone out there and duetted with them? You just would have, like, turned into a puddle.
Exploded, yeah.
As far as remixes, there's an interesting, an oddball remix called, by, I guess, producers called Beatnik Style. Or it's the Beatnik Style remix. Take a listen.
I guess it's seen the sparks are flowing. No one else would know. Hey man, slow down. Slow down.
Hey, you know, to each your own. Alright, I got some covers for you though. This song has been covered by
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Okay, Christopher O'Reilly, Mother Falcon, Easy Star, All Stars again, and the Vitamin String Quartet again.
Again. As far as fan reactions, one said, it's perfect for those moments when you are too lazy to move and just want to stare at the ceiling. We know that feeling.
Yeah, we'll probably feel it tomorrow. And this song is a gentle reminder from Tom York to stop running around like a headless chicken. Hey, don't look at me, I didn't say it.
Do you think Tom really is like trying through his music to tell people to like calm down? Like, do you think he does the music solely for himself, or do you think it's like, I'm sending a message to people and I hope they listen, and my message with this album is calm the fuck down?
Both. If you can help yourself, you can help other people around you.
Cause if you can't love yourself,
yeah, the hell are you gonna love anybody else? Or something like that. I don't think that was right.
All right, what about the critics? What did they say?
Interviewer Claire Kleinelder said, the car speeding off in the Taurus feeds back into the accident that begins Airbag, thereby bringing the album to a complete circle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like a Groundhog Day.
No, and nothing like it. The Guardian said, a meditative closer that urges listeners to pause and reflect, capping off the album with quiet wisdom.
Yeah, and
BBC... Sounds like perfume. Quiet. Like for teachers.
No, it sounds like a Vogue mom. I am quiet wisdom, and you children will listen to me. Oh, God.
The house of quiet wisdom.
I don't want to go deeper into that.
What did the BBC music say?
They said, the tour stands out with its minimalist approach, a poignant reminder of the need to slow down in a hectic world.
All right, we get it already.
I know.
Everyone's pushing the slow down down my throat.
Well, is there a cocktail? That'll slow you down, probably.
Yeah, it's called the Slow Sazerac.
Hey.
Tell me what's in it.
Rye whiskey, simple syrup, bitter, slow gin, absinthe. Designed to be sipped slowly, encouraging a more mindful pace.
We
should have tried that, yeah?
I mean, we could have done it as we're drinking now instead of just
chugging. Make it right now.
Oh. I'm just saying, this drink that we're drinking now could just substitute for that, and we could sip it slowly to encourage ourselves to be in a more mindful place. Did you just threw the finger at me? I'm talking about being in a mindful place and okay.
No. Anyway.
Trivia wise, this was in the TV show Bates Motel.
Bates Motel. I watched that show. I like that show.
Good. It was a good show. I watched it too.
Yeah. It's fitting.
Very fitting. I don't remember that episode, but
you're psychotic. You know your brain is going fast.
Do you know the scene that was used, or was it used in?
I think it was in a party scene, but you know, I feel like you know, sometimes music is subliminally chosen to, like, even if it's just shown in the background, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't making any sense.
Absolute. 100%.
Well, and to give you some extra trivia about the album, apparently Radiohead originally wanted videos for each song on OK Computer.
Like one video for every song?
Yes.
Okay, that's decadent.
Wait, didn't Beyonce do that with Lemonade?
Yeah, but she's done that with every album.
Oh. part. But they had to scrap the idea when Paranoid Android and Karma Police went over budget. Probably because, why do you think it went over budget?
I don't know, like, you know, if you have to live, like, paycheck to paycheck, and so you end up spending all your money in the first 2 weeks, and then you don't have any money until your next paycheck at the end of the month, so you spend it all up in front, you know?
I don't understand. I think it was probably because they burnt that nice-ass car and Karma Police, so... What else?
Let me go back to this. They went over budget on their first two songs, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't have a lot of money and you have a lot of bills, when you get paid on the first, you end up spending a lot of it just to catch up, you know? And so, like... By the first end of the first week, you barely have any money left. So they spent it all on these songs because it was like their first songs from the album. They were excited about them.
You can see that. Anyway.
Please cut all this out.
There was a plan for Massive Attack to remix the album.
They burnt that nice-ass car.
They did.
I know.
It's sad. Pouring out for the good time.
Beyonce vibes all
over again. For the car. Anyway, as I was saying, there's a plan to have Massive Attack remix the album, but they got too busy. So, you're welcome.
Massive Attack got too busy or Radiohead got too busy?
Massive Attack.
Okay. It could be either in the way that it was written. What's next? Do you think Bjork could ever be president?
Yeah.
Wow, you got real sober really quickly. You're like, fuck yeah. Is somebody nominating her? Because I gotta leave the house now and go.
The president of what?
The United States.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah. That's how it'll be.
Alright.
Yeah.
Did you know that Bjork tweeted Maluma and said, I want to collab. Or she tweeted and said, I want to collab with Maluma. And he said...
Yeah, it was sad.
Was that real?
Yeah. Because she's been a big fan for a long time. And he just, like...
Damn.
He didn't have to be so harsh.
I know. He really said, who the fuck is Bjork?
Yeah. She
That says so much more about him and his, like...
planned a bunch of songs around it and everything, and she just had to throw them away.
No, you're just making that up. Is that real?
I always told people I met Michael Jackson. What? But now that I found the picture... What?
I don't know. You know the Kamala Harris coconut tree thing?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one. Why did Kendrick know not to come after Bjork?
No idea.
Alright.
Sorry.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the after party for the last podcast of this album.
Who's got the Molly?
What'd you think of this album? What'd you think of our how we treated this album?
I think we tried.
I think we tried.
We gave it some credit. No, it's a good album. It's better than The Band.
All right.
And
how did you think?
If I had to place it in between, do you think your album? I would say that it would go between debut and post.
Okay.
Because I find it more impressive than Bjork's debut.
All right.
I like the experimentalism in it.
Mm.
And the strings.
You would.
And yeah, just everything.
Yeah. All right.
That's it?
I don't know.
Okay. Goodbye.
Wait.
Wait, what are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, that's why there's all this Bjork stuff here, because it was like, are we going to do Bjork?
Are we doing Bjork? Oh.
It's like I just gave you some really fancy hand soaps for your guest bathroom.
Oh. I feel like,
Or can I pick something completely different?
I thought you already had a plan.
All right, stay tuned.
Uh-oh.